I'd like to call to order the July 1st, 2020 meeting of the TPA's Citizens Advisory Committee. Pursuant to the Governor's Executive Order Number 20-69, TPA Operating Procedures Section 6.2 and TPA Emergency Order Number 2020-03, the Palm Beach TPA is conducting this meeting virtually using the Zoom webinar platform. The TPA selected this platform because it does not require the public to purchase or download any additional software or equipment to attend this meeting. Aside from the Zoom webinar platform, the participants will use to attend remotely, the public will have no discernible difference in their ability to watch the meeting from that of somebody physically attending the meeting. Instruction to join this virtual meeting, as well as contact information for a TPA staff member to assist you, are provided in the published meeting agenda. Please note that some members of the CAC are attending the meeting. Committee members will appear at today's meeting remotely, either via webcam or telephone. Additionally, scheduled presenters and the CAC liaison will also be appearing via webcam or telephone. Before we begin, I will summarize our public comment procedures for this virtual meeting. Written documents, comments, and questions can be submitted online at the website provided in the agenda. Verbal comments can also be made live through the Zoom webinar platform. When you wish to be recognized, please use the raise hand function within the Zoom platform and then wait to be recognized by the chair and unmuted by the meeting host. Lastly, an in-person visitor may submit a comment card available at the welcome table. Would you please call the roll?
I am going to unmute all, and if you're calling in, then you'll need to unmute on that end. Okay, Terry Brown?
Here.
Mark Bruner?
Here.
Jim Carroll?
Here.
Michelle DeMone?
Here.
Judy DeVersa? Greg Fagan?
Here.
Michael Fitzpatrick is absent. Glenn Harvey?
Here.
Jason Maycock is excused. Timmy Pena. Albert Richweigen.
Here.
Ryan Rossi.
Here.
Paul Ryan is excused. Myra Newman.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. We need a motion to adopt the agenda for July 1st.
Mr. Chair.
So moved.
I'm sorry.
Second.
Motion. I did have a comment. We did send an amended agenda, and we posted it to our website. We were requesting for information item 3A, Atlantic Avenue from Florida's Turnpike to John Road, PD&E study, a presentation on that.
Motion to amend the agenda.
We need a second. Mark?
I'll second it for you. Sure.
Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. It passes. We need to motion to approve minutes for June 3rd of 2020. Are there any changes to the minutes? If not, can I have a motion to adopt the minutes as presented?
Moved. Second.
A motion from Terry and a second from Jim. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Okay. I have no comments from the chair. The CAC liaison's report. Jason, would you please review the liaison report?
Sure. Good afternoon, everyone. So the first item for the Citizen Advisory Liaison Report is the TPA has two general planning contracts out on our website. That's at palmbeachtpa.org/business. And these contracts will run from October 1st, 2020 through June 30th, 2023. You can find the submittal date. The due date for that is July 20th, 2020 at 4 p.m. And if you want to find out information about the two planning contracts, please visit our website, and there'll be more information on both of them found there. Next up is the summary of USDOT's Summit on Pedestrian Safety. This is being held. This is to discuss pedestrian safety issues and actions through a webinar, and that the webinar will be held on July 8th, 15th, and 28th. And you can find more information at pedestriansafetysummit.com. Also, there's a Be Well PVC mini grant, and that's a mini grants up to $5,000 available to Palm Beach County residents and organizations to advance community health. And there'll be a virtual Q&A session that'll be held on July 7th at 5 p.m. And to register for the session, you can go to bewellpbc.eventbrite.com. And then the deadline to apply for the grants is July 11th at 4 p.m. I have a few more. The next governing board meeting will be held on July 16th at 9 a.m. And there'll be login and, you know, participation information virtually, or you can attend in person. And our August meeting is, we take August off, so the next meeting will be on September 2nd. And as always, there's upcoming conferences. If you want to find out more about conferences available to CAC liaison members, you can go to palmbeachtpa.org and see what conferences are available. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Are there any public comments on this item?
No, Mr. Chair.
Do any of the committee members have any comments or questions on the liaison's report? Noting none, let's move forward. Are there any general public comments or public comments on the agenda items?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay, move. Next item is a motion to recommend approval of the fiscal year 2022 to 2026 list of priority projects. Andrew, would you please present this item?
Yes, good morning, everyone. So I'm going to present to you the list of priority projects for fiscal year 2020. One second, let me get that. My screen working. Okay, so I'll be presenting the list of priority projects for fiscal year 2022, the 2026, and then this will be going to the governing board for adoption on July 16th. Okay, to rehash our mission statement, is to collaboratively plan, prioritize, and fund the transportation system. So right now we're really in the prioritization phase. So before we have our long-range transition plan and the planning of projects, and then through this list of priority projects is when we prioritize those projects, and then they'll make their way into the work program and our transition improvement program where they are funded. So I'm just going to go through a timeline that you've all seen numerous times, but this is the updated one for fiscal year 22 to 2026 transition improvement program. So today is July 1st, which is the start of the new fiscal year, state fiscal year. So we're now operating under the fiscal year 2021 to 2025 transition improvement program that we adopted last month. So what we're talking about today is a year from now for the 2022 to 2026 tip. And that all starts with the list of priority products is what you see here before you today. And then that list is then given to FDOT, and they look at financial projections, and they look at the feasibility, and they mix it into their draft tentative work program in the summer and fall of 2020. And then that list, that work program is reviewed by the TPA, committees and the board in December of 2020. And then next year in May, that there's a draft of the work program that comes out, and that's how we build our transportation improvement program. And then that's reviewed in May, and then we have a final adoption in June. And then we'll be operating under that new TIF starting July 1st, as I mentioned. So this is the start of really this long process that we have towards building next year's transportation improvement program. So the list that you see before you today includes products that you've all seen in previous prior lists, with the addition of new products at the end of the lists. And this is really what we try to get prioritized for the next 5 years. So this is one of the most important steps of the process. So I'll be going through the three main categories for our list of priority products. We have the state road modifications, the local initiatives program, and the transportation alternatives program. So to start off, our major one, the state road modification, these are our products from our cost feasible list and our long range transportation plan. And this also includes some smaller modifications on state roadways that we've received from staff or from stakeholders. And we also try to tack on some other types of modifications to resurfacing and rehab jobs on bridges. So, for example, adding complete streets or safety components to those resurfacing jobs. The funding source of this is mostly from state funds. It's about $20.5 million a year, coming mostly from state gas taxes. And in the work program, in our TIP, you'll see it showing as district dedicated revenue, as the majority of it, and then also statewide fuel taxes, DS, and then public transit office, DPTO. The next section is the local initiatives program, and this is that annual competitive application process where we use primarily federal funds we get through the service transportation legislation, and that's roughly $22.8 million a year. So you'll see those programmed as SU funds, and then the state version of that is called SA funds. So those are the funding that we put towards these local initiatives. And lastly, we'll be going over transportation alternatives, which is a subset of surface transportation funds at the federal level. And that's another competitive application process that we have for non-motorized projects. And there's roughly around $3.1 million available. And you'll see those categorized in our program as TALU and TLT funds, transportation funds. One second. Okay. So first I'll be going through the state road modifications briefly. So the first one we have on our list is US 1 from Alamar Road to Okeechobee Boulevard. And this product is a little bit of an update from the packet that you've seen. Staff is recommending deletion of this project. So for those unfamiliar, this is a stretch of US 1 just south of Okeechobee in West Palm Beach. And so the original scope of this project was to, as a lane repurposing, so to go from four lanes to three lanes in this section. FDOT does not support, this is the FDOT roadway, they have come back recently and do not support the lane reduction to three lanes. And then working with West Palm Beach, right now West Palm Beach is not wanting to keep it as a four lane. So for the time being, this project is going to be deleted. We recommend deletion of this project from the work program, from our prior list. And then once the scope is finalized and agreed upon by FDOT and West Palm Beach, they can come back in a later year to prioritize that project. So that one we're recommending deletion at this time. The next one is a series of products on US 1. The major line item for this one is called US 1 Enhanced Transit and Multimodal Facilities. So on the packet, you'll see the list of priority products showing under these, and that includes multiple projects that have come about based on our US 1 multimodal corridor study, which we completed about 2 years ago. The first one is our recommendation to FDOT is to fund the transit shelters along US 1, premium transit shelters. The next one is to provide construction funding for lane repurposing in Boca Raton, and then for FDOT to also fund the design and construction, the preliminary engineering for the PE you see on the screen there, and construction funding for land purchasing in North Palm Beach and then also North Palm Beach. And then for us to conduct a feasibility study for a land purchasing in Lake Worth Beach. And once that feasibility study is complete for Lake Worth Beach, that can be approved by the City of Lake Worth Beach and FDOT potentially, and then that would go through the processes of getting design and construction funding if the feasibility is determined. I apologize, the clicker seems to be messing up a lot. Okay, sorry about that. So the other projects that I wanted to update you on for city road modifications, these are all ones that are also existing. Atlantic Avenue, we're requesting to push FDOT to accelerate right-of-way construction funding for the portion of Lyons Road to Job Road, which is a widening project. We have an OPW Boulevard from City Road 7 to US 1 transit corridor and other multimodal facilities. We're wanting to prioritize the transit shelters on that facility. And then this is there's a State Road 80 from State Road 15 to County Road 880 street lighting study right now. There's a warrant study being done by FDOT. They're looking to wrap that study up pretty soon here in the next month or so. And they're going to come to our board in September to provide the results of that study. The TPA staff is recommending we continue to try to program the design and construction of that lighting along that corridor. The next one is Lake Worth Road Enhanced Transit Multimodal Corridor Facilities. We're looking to program the transit signal prioritization on that segment. And then the last part is the new projects, and we're looking to program construction and implementation of the new projects that are on our list. So the next slide I'm about to show you is a summary of the 8 new projects on our list. So they're in more detail in the packet. They're broken down into 8 projects in the packet, and they're all underlined at the bottom of the state road modification list. But I'll go through them briefly with you. The first one is a federal highway at Spanish River Boulevard, which is in Boca Raton. And this is a project to convert a through lane on that on that intersection into a through lane and a right turn lane only, or sorry, a through lane and a right turn lane together, which frees up a little bit of space to add a bike lane through the intersection. And that'll also include a mass arm conversion. The next one is actually 3 products that you'll see in the priority list. Encompasses 36 intersections. So our 2 main signal maintaining agencies in the county are Boca Raton and Palm Beach County. And they both requested to us to replace span wire systems with mast arms and steel string poles. So this will be upgrading and reinforcing their intersections with newer technology out there. And then also technology that is more resistant and resilient to storms. The next part is State Road 715. There's 3 products that we have in there. State Road 17 is a state road that runs north-south out in the western portion of our county. There's some sidewalk gaps out there, and there's some lighting needs and some bicycle gaps. So these 3 products encompass sidewalks, lighting, and buffer bicycle lanes. And then lastly on this list, one of those resurfacing projects that the state is doing is in downtown Lake Worth Beach, along Lake Ave and Lucerne Ave, and we are recommending that FDOT add stamped concrete crosswalks, replace sidewalk pavers, and try to improve drainage within the resurfacing project. Next is the local niches program. Again, this is that annual competitive application process, roughly $22.8 million a year in that. All the projects are moving forward. Just 2 updates for you on this list. The FEC Railroad safety improvements, similar to the ones that we've done in the South County. This is the northern portion going from West Palm Beach north. This we're requesting to add $555,000 in fiscal year 2021 to support a rail and safety grant that Brightline has gone after. So Brightline has gotten, this is mostly getting paid forward with this Chrissy grant, as it's called, the abbreviation. But it's also shipping in money from locals, from Brightline, and then it would be another additional $565,000 from the Surface Transportation Funds from the TPA. The next project is the town of Palm Beach has four signals that they want to bring into the Palm Beach County Traffic Signal Network. And this is a project that was actually applied to for last year and was prioritized. But there's been opportunities to accelerate this project. It was a request from the town of Palm Beach, and Palm Beach County say that they are able to accelerate that in their construction schedule. And we talked with FDOT, and they're able to find the funding available for this in fiscal year 2022. So this is actually going for about two or three years accelerating for implementation. And then we have five new applications that we've had for this last round of local initiatives that's administered by TPA. Four prioritized, and then we have one that was ineligible. So these are the five products on your screen that we have the applications for, and I'm just going to go through them briefly. The first one is Palm Trend electric buses. So we have a goal at TPA to move towards entire fleet of electric buses in the long term as a goal for our long-range transmission plan. This is also the goal for Palm Trend. They're looking to purchase four electric buses and also install electric charging stations at their maintenance facility. They applied last year for four buses as well. The next one is a tri-level service to purchase one passenger rail car. So they came to Palm Beach TPA looking to get funded through this program for $2.5 million. And then they're also going after regional funds that we administer at the regional level. And they'll be getting another $2.5 from that. And then they're also looking for Broward MPO to go through a similar process that we have here, the same funding amount, same funding pot for surface transportation funds, and they're asking for 2.5 from them. So this is a regional effort that they're trying to purchase rail cars. The next one is downtown Lake Worth Beach, and these are facilities that are north-south on Southeast Coast Street and South H Street, and they're looking to reconstruct these roadways to one-way pairs and then also install 4-foot designated bike lanes. And the next two I wanted to point out, Wellington had a project they submitted for Greenbrier Boulevard from Aero Club Drive to Greenbrier Shores Boulevard, which is to construct 4-foot designated bike lanes. I wanted to point out this one that I have an asterisk by for the score. Our program overview states that we want to have a minimum score threshold of 25 points. Staff's still going to recommend inclusion of this product under our priority list to go towards to the board. As you see, we have probably around $20 to $22 million available for the local initiatives program. And if you add the totals about what's available, we still have some funds available, so we felt it was good to still have this product move forward since we have money that's freed up for it. And then lastly, we have West Palm Beach submitted for Mercer Avenue from Australian Ave to Center Park Boulevard. And this had a lot of complete concept, mostly bike lanes. But this project, we deemed it ineligible at this time because additional public outreach is required. This one, and really this goes for all the products that we have, if there are products that are going along residential areas and they have single-family residential units where the driveways back into the street, we are requiring more public outreach and approval from those homeowners before we move forward with those so that we can have those property owners on board a little bit more. In the past, we've had issues with products getting to construction and they're being, resented from the public. So trying to get ahead of that a little bit more early. So that's the reason why we deem that one ineligible. A few highlights. All existing projects are moving forward for transportation alternatives, and we have six new applications, four that were prioritized, and we have two that were we have insufficient funding for. And I want to go through those new ones for you. So all the current ones that we had in the previous years, those are all moving forward as expected. Here's the status of our 2020 applications. So these are the first time you're seeing these. So the six products we have on the screen here, we have Lake Worth had ADA improvements for for sidewalks and curb ramps throughout the entirety of the city. Palm Beach Gardens had bike lanes and an 8-foot pathway on Kyoto Gardens Drive for Military Trail at A1A. We have Westgate CRA who applied for pedestrian safety improvements on Cherry Road, Military Trail to Quail Drive. Paul and Tran is looking to do 88 bus stop enhancements countywide at train stop locations. And so that really, those four projects ate up $3 million in federal funds that we had available for this program. So the next two did score, you know, above the threshold, but we didn't have funding available, so there's insufficient funding. That was C2 Canal Shared Use Pathway in Wellington, and then also ADA improvements, including sidewalks and curb ramps throughout residential neighborhoods in Village of Royal Palm Beach. Now, for these two bottom ones, you know, we do have money available in the local initiative program. You know, if you all were interested, we could look into try and get those funded in the local initiatives program. Obviously, there's some eligibility determinations to be met there, so we have to work with APT on that, and the timing of these would be delayed by about 2 years. But there may be opportunity to get them funded still if that was the will of the committees and the board. And that's all I have for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Are there any public comments at this time?
Mr. Chair, I have no public comments on this item.
All right. We need a motion to recommend adoption of the fiscal 2226 list of priority projects, and then I will open the floor to discussions. Any motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mark and a second by Greg.
Okay.
And then Myron had his hand raised, but then he lowered it.
All right. Okay. Is there discussion on this item? Jim?
No. Nothing from me, thank you.
Okay.
Myron has his hand raised again.
May I speak?
Please.
I raised my hand. I didn't know that I hadn't been called on, but I was a little confused by the presentation in the text. And I think the oral presentation was clearer. These are staff recommendations. Is that correct?
Yes.
I think that the printed document should say that these are staff recommendations. And I noticed that if the tables are in order of priority, the funding does not necessarily follow the priorities in the tables. And I wondered why that was. I would have thought that the projects recommended for funding would be the highest priority down the list. And I also noticed that the Andy's presentation was inconsistent with what is in the text that was distributed to us online. No, it wasn't distributed, you know, posted online. For example, Andy's presentation omitted State Road 7 as a recommendation. Is that the staff's intention? Because the text that you distributed said the TPA, and that's actually the staff recommends that TPA request. That State Road 7 widening extension projects, that FDOT worked to restore the permits and construct the projects. So that was left off of Andy's thing, and I wonder if that's a, on purpose and why.
Hey, Martin, this is Andrew. Yes, I can respond to that. The presentation that I gave focuses only on the ones that are needs, so ones that are unfunded, or substantial changes to previous priorities. So since the Stairway 7 one, and what he's referring to is it is the first one on our list of priority products for Stairway modifications. It's the first two lines. And so since those were fully funded, I didn't provide that request in the presentation I gave as a slide. So the slides were really meant to focus on the ones that had some changes and things that you guys would not have seen in the past.
Okay. Anything else, Margaret?
No, I'm just a little worried about the wording. But I mean, I think it ought to be more explicit. These are staff recommendations to the board. And it gives I believe that the current text gives a false impression to any member of the public who goes online and looks at it. I mean, once the board decides, that's fine. But I think that these ought to be presented as staff recommendations. In the text. I mean, Andy said that they were staff recommendations. You know, but. The text doesn't say that.
Okay. Well, the other thing is that as soon as we both make our recommendation, it becomes our recommendation to the board. So it supersedes the staff, or not supersedes, but includes the staff recommendation and our recommendation.
Well, we would be endorsing the staff
recommendation. The thing that I do say is that I think we should identify, even if they're carried forward projects, the main projects that absorb most of the funding on this, on the 22-26. I mean, it's, how much is it worth? How much is 22-26 dollar value?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Glenn, can you hear us?
What? I didn't hear the answer.
I'm sorry. We were asking for you to repeat the question, but it seemed there was a glitch for a second.
Oh, the question was, what is the total dollar value of the 2022-26 TIP? And how many dollars did Andrew identify in his presentation?
So, I could answer that one for you. So on the bottom of each table, if you look at the last, row of each table for state road modifications, local initiatives, and transportation alternatives, you'll see that it's broken down by fiscal year, 21 through 25, which is our current fiscal year, 21 to 25 TIP. And then we have a requested TPA funds, column. So, in totality, if you include the ones that have already been already programmed, or already phases that are already complete, all the way that have already programmed and then requested, we have $404 million for state road modifications. But I guess the column that you would want to focus on is called requested TPA funds. So we have $116 million in our request to add to the work program that have not been programmed yet. For state road modifications.
Okay. All right.
And then the same could be done for local initiatives and transportation alternatives.
I mean, I think this is the point I was trying to make. The projects in the list add up to a lot more money than is actually available.
Yes.
And so the staff is making a recommendation to the board that among all the priority projects, these are the ones we think should be funded. And that is not explicit. I think, you know, we really have to be a little more explicit about that. So the board can say, well, you know, okay, we don't have enough funding and maybe I like this project better than that project or something like that. I, you know, that which is the board's responsibility. And so I think we need to, that needs to be rewritten so that it's explicit that the total projects in the priority list add up to so-and-so. This is the amount of money we think we have available. The staff recommends that from the long list, the board choose these and recommend that to the respective performing agencies that they do these things. That would be clear, and it would make a lot more sense from a decision-making point of view when presented to the board, because I'm not sure they understand this either, much less the public. So I really would, it's late in the game, but I would really urge at least the summary be rewritten to be explicit in that way. And if it's necessary, I would make a motion amending the motion to approve, subject to rewriting that section of the overview. I don't think it's necessary for me to make a motion like that, because I think Andy understands what I'm trying to get at. My purpose is not to embarrass anybody. It's to make sure that the public and the board understands what's going on here.
All right. Do we hear any further discussion? If not, then I have a motion by
Mark and a second.
And a second by Terry. Okay. Because we're conducting this meeting virtually, we're going to do this by roll call. Please, Margie, please call the roll.
Okay, I have unmuted all, and it may prompt you on your end as well. Terry Brown?
Yes.
Mark Bruner?
Hi.
Jim Carroll?
Hi.
Michelle DeMone?
Hi.
Judy DeVers is absent. Greg Fagan?
Yes.
Glenn Harvey?
Yes.
Albert Richwagen?
Yes.
Ryan Rossi?
Yes.
Meyer Newman?
No. Mr. Chairman, I request that the minutes reflect that my no vote is because I did not get a positive response from staff about rewriting the summary as I suggested. Because I think otherwise the summary is misleading.
I will ensure that the minutes reflect, Mr. Chair. And just for the record, it was passed 8-1.
Okay. Moving on, the next motion is to adopt, to recommend approval of the TPA's Fiscal 21 Strategic Plan. The TPA established a strategic plan in 2016 to guide its conduct for the upcoming 12-month period based on a state fiscal year. Each year, the TPA reviews prior year performance and updates the plan to identify strategic, relevant actions that advance the TPA's mission and vision. Strategic Plan Steering Committee, comprised of 7 TPA board members, met on June 22, 2020, to review the agency's performance for fiscal year 20 and recommend updates for fiscal year 21. The TPA staff will highlight significant events in fiscal year 20 and review proposed updates for the attached fiscal 21 strategic plan. Valerie, would you please present this item?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Valerie Nielsen. I'm the Deputy Director of Multimodal Development at the TPA. And We follow the state fiscal year, which is from July 1st through June 30th. So we just ended fiscal year 20 and we're starting fiscal year 21 today. As Glenn mentioned, I'm going to be providing a few highlights from fiscal year 20 and presenting our draft fiscal year 21 strategic plan. So what is the strategic plan? It's a one-year document focused on specific actions that we want to take to advance our vision and our goals. We have six goals. And this document is not required by federal or state regulations, but it's something that we've been doing since 2016 as a best practice, above and beyond our two-year unified planning work program. So fiscal year 20 was a big year for us. Here's a picture of our ribbon cutting of our board in our new office. A few of the highlights from fiscal year 20 is that we became an independent agency, so we are no longer hosted by Palm Beach County, and we moved into a new office building. You can see the picture here at 301 Day Tour in downtown West Palm Beach. We also adopted our five-year long-range transportation plan update for 2045. We created an online interactive comment map to receive comments from the public, and we also hosted several events, including a transit peer exchange and a Vision Zero workshop, which we're really excited because after that, we have one new Vision Zero city, the city of Boynton Beach. So we congratulate them for taking the action to commit to zero fatalities and serious injuries on our roadways. We're putting together an annual report that we plan to present to the board on July 16th. And here's kind of a preview of what it's going to look like, but it covers our six goals. And on the left, you can see here the interactive map that I mentioned for the comments, and also our February board meeting, which had over 2,000 public comments. It was our largest attended board meeting that we've had to date, and some of the events that we've participated and hosted throughout the year. We also highlight some of the projects that were constructed this year and some of the ways we collaborated with partners throughout the year. And finally, our report card for fiscal year 20. And that's what's going to be in the annual report that we present to the board. So this agenda item is an action to adopt our draft fiscal year 21 strategic plan, which is what we'll be working on over the next year. As Glenn mentioned, so our board in May created a subcommittee with seven members of the board and they met on June 22nd to review the progress of the fiscal year 2020 strategic plan and also recommended updates and revisions to the fiscal year 21 strategic plan, which is what I'm going to review for you today. So I mentioned we have six goals. Our first goal is engage the public. And I'm on the screen, you'll see in highlighted in red the boxes of what is changing. So on action A, 1A, we had last year, our action was to create an interactive common map. Well, we created that. So now our new action is to promote the interactive common map. And our goal is to have 500 commons by June of next year. We also changed the language a little bit on action 1C. So we had conduct outreach events, but now we expanded that to be more clear and say conduct or support outreach events and campaigns. Because a lot of the events we do are also with our partners as we collaborate with them. On goal two, plan the system. On action A, commence multimodal corridor studies on our transit plan corridors from our long range transportation plan. We bumped down from 3 to 2 studies as our goal because these are big efforts and we learned from this year and now even going through this current pandemic, it's 3 might be a bit much for us to kick off in a year. So our new goal is 2 studies by June. We also revised a little bit the language on 2B before we had conduct safe routes to school, walking safety audits. We still want to do that, but we made it more broad to say conduct pedestrian and bicycle safety field reviews so that we are not just looking at around schools, but also other corridors to improve bicycle and pedestrian safety. And we hope to do 3 again this year. And then for each of these goals, we try to have 3 to 5 actions. For this one, we added a new action this year to create a Complete Streets Opportunities Plan. What we mean by this is we want to review our roadways, our county FDOT and our city roadways that are federally aid eligible on the network to find complete streets opportunities. So looking at our roadways to see what roadways have enough space to add sidewalks, bicycle facilities, safety improvements, and kind of do a sweep of before and after possibilities, and then present that by June of next year and share it with the roadway owners. So hopefully they can apply to us for funds or implement those improvements as when the next resurfacing project comes up. But we want to compile that into a document we can share. For goal 3, prioritize funding, we revised the language under action D to say identify safety projects within our priority list instead of create a new safety project, because we realized several of the projects in our priority list are safety improvements. So we wanted to highlight those projects to highlight what projects we're prioritizing that are really going to improve safety. For goal 4, and this was a request from the board, we had previously review upcoming FDOT county and city projects to ensure that they're advancing our priorities and basically provide them feedback on how they can improve those projects and hopefully improve safety and bicycle facilities when they're doing projects. Our board asked us to revise that language to say engage stakeholders in those reviews so that that way we would actually reach out to more stakeholders when we're reviewing those upcoming projects to get their feedback as well. Goal 5, collaborate with partners. On this one, we have a few revisions. The first one, action A from last year, was research existing mobility plans and fees throughout the state of Florida. We did that, and we shared it with the board subcommittee for the strategic plan, and they said, that's great, but let's put that on the shelf for now and focus on something else. So we are proposing to, as an action, to collect pedestrian and bicycle activity counts. And we're actually at 12 locations, and we're actually working with Palm Beach County Engineering on this because they have some of their intersections have new cameras, which have a technology that can count 24/7 bicyclists and pedestrians within the roadway, crossing the road or in the bicycle, in the roadway and the bicycle lane. And so we're working with them on identifying 12 locations to implement to the TPA would fund for the extra service, but basically to have an online platform where we can have 24/7 feed of counts of pedestrians and bicycles at these locations. So we're trying that out and we're going to do that over the next year. For action B, we had previously facilitate local walk and bicycle and age-friendly designations for our local communities. So our goal was to have 3 cities or county receive these designations in a year. And because this is not in our control, we're deciding to strike this goal. We still want to help and promote this our local municipalities to get these designations, but instead of putting ourselves up to something we are not in control of to achieve, we're changing that to say assist local governments with transportation studies and plans and have 3 studies and plans by June. So what we mean by that is help be a funding partner to our local municipalities that want to do complete street studies, traffic studies, mobility plans. We would be a partner to them on that. For action D and E are actually new actions that we're adding this year. So D, the idea behind this is to create a complete streets projects video by June. And this would be highlighting complete streets projects that have been implemented in Palm Beach County and possibly in Broward and Miami to highlight some of the improvements that have happened recently and hopefully share awareness with folks that are considering similar type projects but have hesitations. So for example, the city of West Palm Beach has implemented several separated bicycle facilities, and that's pretty much a new concept here in our county, and so we could highlight some of those. There's been several lane repurposing projects in the region that have been successful, so we could highlight some of those. And so that's the idea behind this, because we're not everyone's aware of everything that's going on, and we hope that this will help them see examples in the region when they're considering these types of projects. And then E5E is to, this was also a request from our board, to facilitate a discussion of our LRTP projects and their inclusion in local comprehensive plans. So they asked us to review local comprehensive plans and work with the municipalities to see how we can align our LRT, our long-range transportation plan projects in their comprehensive plans. And we would provide a summary report by next June of our findings and what we were able to do as part of that effort. The final goal is administer the agency. This remains mostly the same except for Action C. Last year, our goal was to move to a new office and meeting space, and we achieved that. So our new action for this, for C, is to pursue a distinguished workplace designation. So this could be a bicycle-friendly business designation or a best places to work designation. We're going to explore a few different designations and try to achieve one by June of next year. So that concludes our what came out of our, out of the meeting with our board subcommittee for the strategic plan for fiscal year 21. And we're presenting now to the committees for a motion to adopt these recommendations for the new year. And then the board will be seeing this later this month to adopt the final strategic plan.
Thank you. Anita, hearing no further discussion, I need a motion and a second. Who would like to be the motion?
I'm going to do the motion. I'll do the second.
I'm sorry. Okay. I missed two of the motion makers. I have that Terry's the second, but who was the first?
What was that?
I missed who the motion maker was. I had that Terry.
I was one of them.
Okay, so Jim.
I don't know if I was first.
Okay, you know, I'll have Jim as the motion maker, Terry as the second.
Yeah.
And here, just for the record, I don't have any public comments on this, but Myra does have his hand raised.
Okay. Because we are conducting this meeting virtually, we're going to do this vote by roll call. Margie, please call the roll.
Excuse me, I have my hand raised.
For discussion first.
Oh.
You have Myron with his hand raised.
Any discussion?
Yes.
Yes, Myron.
I thought it was very interesting, and there's one thing that stood out for me, and that is 5E, which is a discussion, initiate discussions of the relationship between the long-range transportation plan and local comprehensive plan. And the question is, which should be consistent with which? And I look forward to that discussion.
Anybody have any comment on that? Okay. Any other discussion? If none, let's proceed with the vote.
Okay. And just, I am unmuting all, and for clarification, I have the motion on the floor is to recommend approval of the fiscal year 21 strategic plan as presented, and a motion by Jim, and a second by Terry. Terry?
Yes.
Mark Bruner?
Aye.
Jim Carroll?
Aye.
Michelle DeMone?
Aye.
Greg Fagan?
Yes.
Glenn Harkin?
Yes.
Albert Richmeyer?
Yes.
Ryan Rossi?
Yes.
And Myra Newman?
Yes.
It passes unanimously, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. Our first information item is 3A, to expand Atlantic Avenue from Florida's Turnpike to Jai Road for project development and environmental study. FDOT staff will present the beginning stages of the Atlantic Avenue from Florida's Turnpike to Jod Road PD&E study, covering the purpose and the evaluation process and upcoming project schedule. The DERA presentation is attached. Alexander Estra, would you please present this item?
Thank you. My name is Alexander Estrada. I'm from FDOT District 4 in design office. So what we're going to present here today is the PD&E study that we started in March of this year. The PD&E study goes on Atlantic Avenue from Turnpike to Jog Road. So as you know, in this area, there is a lot of congestion. We see capacity needs, a lot of delays. So we're looking into widening this section from existing 4 lanes divided to 6 lanes. So the current schedule is we started the PD&E this year, 2020. The design is scheduled for 2022, the right-of-way acquisition for 2024, and the construction is currently unfunded candidate item for 2027. I will let Rudy from Scalar continue the presentation, and we'll open up to questions at the end. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Hi, I'm Rudy Gutmare. I'm the consultant project manager. Just want to give you a little update on the project. Our outline is just to introduce project, discuss purpose and need, look at some of the characteristics, and talk about the project schedule that is currently planned for the project. Why are we here? Basically to give update to the board, CAC, TAC, that this study has started. We want to give you some information, and most important thing, get your input as we made some progress throughout the study. As a PD&E study, the main components are engineering analysis. We're going to look at all the engineering data, evaluate alternatives, then evaluate environmental impacts because of the proposed action, whether we're going to widen it, modify, add lanes, and then continue to do public involvement throughout the life of the project and continue the public involvement that we're going to do through the PD&E. As the project gets transferred to the design, the public involvement agency coordination will continue until the project is built. So as a part of our PD&E public involvement, public engagement process, we're going to conduct an alternatives workshop sometime in spring of 2021. And then a public hearing in December 2021. What you see here is a general PD&E process flowchart. Once the planning is done, we come to the stage where we are now, which is a PD&E phase. It's going to last for approximately 2 years. Once the PD&E is done and the project is approved, it will move to the design phase, right of way, and eventually to the construction. So here is the project location map. As you can see, the project limit starts at the Turnpike along Atlantic Avenue up to Jog Road. The Jog Road intersection is included as a part of this project. The project is approximately 1.8 miles, and the whole entire project corridor is within the unincorporated Palm Beach County areas. The purpose is to address capacity needs, existing as well as future, and also evaluate the transportation regional network, evaluate safety, not just for the vehicles, but for bicycles and pedestrians. I don't know what happened, sorry. Let me get back. So, sorry for that. As we know, currently, the project is identified in Palm Beach TPA is 2040, as well as 2040 for LRTP. Also, those who travel this road knows that some of the segments are currently over capacity, and we'll talk about that over the next couple of slides. So our goal is to evaluate capacity issues and then look at pedestrian and bicycle facilities. As you know, some of those, there are some gaps on the sidewalks, and provide bike lanes on both sides of the roadway. Okay, here are the traffic volumes. As you can see, what you see in blue is the current year AADT, and in red on those maps, on the screen is 2045 traffic projections. As you can see, even for the current, there are some segments, they are over capacity for an existing four lane segment. So we're going to evaluate widening, adding more capacity. Also, along Atlantic Avenue, there's a heavy truck volume because this corridor basically connects to Turnpike on the west and I-95 on the east. It's a major east-west corridor. So as a part of the project, we're going to evaluate adding capacity, potential widening from 4 to 6 lanes. We're going to look at enhancing safety, look at multimodal accommodation, providing continuous bike lanes and pedestrian facilities such as sidewalks. There are certain considerations for the project. The right-of-way, in some areas, right-of-way is very limited, so we may have some right-of-way impacts. There's a Lake Worth Drainage District Canal on the south side, several utilities, as well as some noise impacts. So all this will be evaluated as a part of the PD&E study. The proposed typical section, as we looking at right now, is a 6-lane urban typical section with 11-foot lanes, 22-foot wide median, 7-foot buffered bike lanes on both sides of the roadway, as well as 6-foot sidewalks. From the alignments alternatives, we're going to look at southern alignment, which means we are looking at widening to the south, because as I discussed, there's a limited right-of-way. So in order to accommodate this future typical section that you're looking at, we will need to acquire some right-of-way, and southern alignment seems to be the most feasible so far. We are also going to evaluate a best fit. What that means is our goal is to minimize or avoid the impacts, and if we cannot avoid the impacts, we want to minimize the right-of-way impacts and as well as other along the corridor. Public involvement is a critical part of the project, and that's why we are here today. Meet with all the agencies, provide project progress, and get input that could be included into further engineering analysis as the project moves forward. We also have a project website, which is now active. So if you have any comments, you want to look at some more information on the project, this link that's provided below can be used. What you see here is some of the list of agencies that we are going to coordinate for the project, in addition to all the HOAs, communities along the corridor, and the citizens. Here is the timeline for the project. As Alex indicated, we started towards end of February. We are currently going through the data collection engineering analysis process. And then as we approach spring of 2021, we are planning to conduct a public alternatives public workshop. Again, give opportunity to everybody to make comments on the proposed alternatives, and then move forward with the study. And in winter 2021, we are planning to conduct a public hearing. As we discussed, Alex talked about, the design is currently funded in 2022. The right-of-way acquisition is funded in fiscal year 2024. The construction for the project is currently not funded, but it is a candidate project for fiscal year 2027. With that, if you have any questions and comments, Alex is our FDOT project manager. You can contact him, or you can also contact Guillermo at the FDOT communications manager. With that, I'll open it for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Okay. This was a information item. Are there any public comments for this item?
No, Mr. Chair.
Does any committee members have any comments about this project? I have one. This project is from the Turnpike to Jog Road. I know there's a project from State Road 7 to Lyons Road. Where is the segment from Lyons Road to the Turnpike going to be addressed?
Yes, thank you for the question. So this study is from Turnpike to Jog Road. However, the design is funded from Lyons to Jog Road. So the design is going to be the full length tying into the project that's on the west right now from State Road 7 to Lyons. We're going to tie into that one and continue all the way to Jog Road. So the reason, you know, this was kind of broken down into different projects. So this is just the study portion, which is west of Turnpike. You know, this is more basically required a full PD&E study because of there's additional right-of-way needed. There's been changes since the last PD&E was done. There's been a lot of businesses and a lot of more volume of traffic has come in since the previous PD&E was done, I think either early 90s or late 80s. So things have changed since then. So we will have to do a full PD&E on the east side. However, on the west side, there's been already a right-of-way acquired, and the alignment is already set up for six lanes. So we're able to widen into the inside without impacting, any other parcels. So that's why we have a PD&E, a full PD&E just for this section. However, our design is going to encompass the whole limits.
Thank you. Any other comments? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next item, 3B, F. District 4 scheduling report for projects in Palm Beach County. FDOT has created the attached scheduling report to share the anticipated completion dates of key activities for projects within Palm Beach County, beginning with the initial scoping checklist and continuing through design process to notice the commencements of construction. FDOT staff will generate the report monthly, and the TPA will share the report as an administrative item on future agenda. Andrew, would you please present this item?
Thank you, Chair. Hello again, everyone. This is quick. I just wanted to bring to your attention this scheduling report that's provided from districts four. They're providing this for all the counties in our district. So this is originated by them. And what we're going to do is ask for this report beginning of each month, and we're going to include it as an administrative item in the packet in the future. So it'll be down to your summary points for the board. So you're not going to get this as an informational item every time, but we wanted to give you just a brief overview of what this is. So it's a pretty large PDF, small font, but what this includes are product programs in the work program, and then the status of them and their milestones coming up. So I'm just going to go through a few fields that might be beneficial for you all to be aware of. The second page of the report actually gives a definition for all the milestones you see on the table, but I'm just going to point out a few of them. The first one I want to point out is what is called PM, which is the product manager. And so when you find a name on the report, with product manager, you can actually go on, I think it's like F.411 or State of Florida 401 contacts on the website. If you Google that, you can actually put in anybody who works for the state employee and look up their contact information. So sometimes if it's a product manager we don't know, we just go that quickly and look it up. You can also contact us and we can get you in touch with them. The next one is the multimodal scoping form checklist, which happens pretty early on in the project process before design starts. So this gets set out to the cities, the TPA looks at it as well, and other stakeholders. And this really provides some, an early scoping of the project for climate purposes. And then the next one I wanted to mention was the execution date when design starts, so the start of design. And then it's going through the design process, and then there's the initial engineering stage, which is the first opportunity for design review. So the city and other stakeholders review it. TPA also has access to review the design and make their comments, and it has the scoping changes to it. And then after that, there is a public information workshop based on the design. And really, this is getting towards the last chance to make some of those major adjustments to the design of a project. Some major scoping changes is at this public information workshop. And then once you finish that up and those comments are provided and make those changes, after that, it's really getting to the other sections of designing the roadway and going to some other phases that get more into materials and traffic when they're out there constructing. So it's really during that public information workshop and the initial engineering phase is when we want to get the final design of a project finalized. So after you get to the design phase, some might have a right-of-way phase as well, but you start getting into the later phases, and then it gets into what is called the construction notice to proceed, NTP, which is the last one you see on the list there on the table. And this is really when they have the contractor can go out and construct the project. And so once it gets past the notice to proceed date, it'll be under construction, and then it would drop off this list. So the project may not be complete, but it's gone through the entirety of the programming of the phases of the project and has started construction. So again, to recap, this will be provided monthly, so you might see some changes and updates in these milestones if there are changes to a project. And so hopefully this is a good tool for you all to stay aware of a sort of what's going on in the different phases for a project. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Are any committee members have any comments?
Chair, I don't have any public comments on this item, but Myra does have his hand raised for committee comments.
No, please. Myra?
Well, I have a comment about everything, of course. I think this is a really interesting report, although I almost went blind trying to read it. But I would like to suggest that to FDOT that it consider ordering the projects on this list in conformity with the priorities list so that it would be easier for people who are interested in priority projects to find them.
Can we put that in as a comment, Margie?
Yes, we can.
Thank you.
Sure. I can respond to that if you'd like for a little backup. Our staff's been pushing on FDOT to provide this as an actual table in Excel. Unfortunately, they only provide it as a PDF. We can put that request into them to see if they can change it for us. And then on the staff side, we're seeing, I can't promise anything, but we're trying to make this PDF and convert it to an Excel document. So we can reorganize the list ourselves to provide it in the list of priority products sort of order. So it would make it easier for you all and maybe hide a few fields as well, maybe to clean it up a little bit more. But we'll definitely provide that comment to FDOT, and then we're going to still work with staff to try to get this a little bit more dynamic for us to work with.
Thank you.
Any other comments on the FDOT District 4 scheduling report? Okay. If that's the case, member comments? If anybody has a comment for the committee, please utilize the raise hand function.
can't find the raise hand function on my system here, but I just want to congratulate Albert. I had two daughters and I hit the jackpot, so you should really do well. They're great.
I'll second that emotion.
Yes. Thirded. Summary points from the June 18th governing board meeting.
Wait, Glenn?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had one thing. I couldn't find the raise hand feature either. Just sort of a question. The September 2 meeting, I guess that's the next meeting, right?
Correct.
Correct.
And will that be on Zoom as well, or Zoom available?
At this time, we only have authorization through August. It's not, it's dependent on the governor's order. So we will let you know probably early to mid-August once that's updated.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so the summary report is informational. Any information requested by a committee member? Next, the public, the May 2020 public involvement activity report. No staff presentation unless requested by a committee member. Does any member request a presentation? If not, reminder, we are on a scheduled break in August. Next meeting is scheduled for September 2 of 2020. And we'll be provided information in the near future regarding where and how the meeting will be conducted. Thank you. At this time, the committee is adjourned. Thank you all. Have a good summer.